Hey, guess what? We're not going to talk about cloud this week, but I'm going to beat the other dead horse of artificial intelligence. Come on, I haven't talked about it for a month. I mentioned last week that IBM had their Interconnect conference. Obviously, artificial intelligence was a big part of the conversation, but there was an unexpected byproduct of the flood of information about IBM due to the news cycle last week. There were quite a few articles that questioned IBM's position in the artificial intelligence world. Everyone agrees that artificial intelligence is going to be the emerging technology or the technology for the future. But they're questioning whether Watson is the right vehicle to get businesses into the AI arena. I'm Joey Lombardi, and this is Sourcecast, episode 64. Before we get to our main story, let's review the acquisitions that have taken place over the last 7 days. Amazon has bought a non-cloud company, but it is so significant that I thought it would be worth mentioning on this podcast. Amazon has acquired a company named Souq, which is basically the Middle East's clone of Amazon. And when I say Amazon, I mean the retail online shopping, not the cloud piece of it. Souq, which is often described as the Amazon for the Arab world and the region's biggest e-commerce player, was acquired by Amazon for $650 million. A few years ago, the company was worth over $1 billion, but the times have changed. This will be an interesting story to keep tabs on over the next couple of years to see how Amazon's massive supply chain operation, and that's basically what Amazon is, how that influences and impacts change to the Middle East and how they're getting products. Because of Interconnect last week and IBM's recent partnership with Salesforce, Mark Benioff, the Salesforce CEO, made an appearance during Ginni Rometty's keynote speech last week. The two of them highlighted IBM's acquisition of Blue Wolf last year. So I thought I would do a little refresher to remind people that this happened. Let's make this news item shorter. IBM purchased this company because they're already acting as a consulting partner for Salesforce. The Blue Wolf acquisition sped up their plans to gain more consulting business for Salesforce implementations. Articles reviewing and documenting the deal last year noted that IBM saw Salesforce as a key strategic partner. The news over the last few weeks that they are combining their AI efforts on some scale proves that point. And finally, while this isn't news of a direct acquisition, Hewlett-Packard Enterprise CEO Meg Whitman is letting the public know that you will see more acquisitions from HPE. I kind of view that more as a threat than a news item. In a recent article with the Financial Post, Meg Whitman stated, and I quote, "I suspect now you will see us do more acquisitions. We've sort of shrunk down to the core, and we will make investments and acquisitions in that very core strategy of hybrid IT and the intelligent edge, and probably some services." I find it interesting that they're talking about buying services companies when they just jettisoned their entire services department. But hey, you have to scale, right? So on to our main story. I have spent so much time over the last year while recording these podcasts talking about artificial intelligence and the changes it will bring to business and humanity. And I maintain that optimistic and fanboyish outlook. But a little bit of pessimism goes a long way. During last week's Interconnect conference, while IBM was extolling the virtues of blockchain and their cloud services, and of course their artificial intelligence via Watson, there were a few articles that started to question whether or not moving to Watson was viable for a business. A Forbes article specifically called out one of the success stories of Watson in the recent months. H&R Block has been advertising that they taught Watson how to do your taxes. Very cool. What they didn't tell you is that Watson had to ingest about 600 million data points before they can even get started using the tool, and they basically had to teach the artificial intelligence system the entire tax code. The Forbes article goes on to say, and I quote, "There was an enormous commitment of person hours from highly qualified professionals, as well as vast quantities of data to make Watson more of a consultant's tool and best suited for selling the time of IBM consultants more so than a modular Lego block style plugin for customers to incorporate directly into their own applications." What that quote is basically calling out is to make Watson work for a specific application or use, you have to teach it. And that is extremely time consuming. We've mentioned that before. At the moment, Watson also has a reputation for being very expensive. And it's sort of hard to compare it against anything else. It's this other thing. So it has a premium at the moment. But Watson's competitors are taking a somewhat different approach to implementing artificial intelligence to the masses. Let's take a look at what Amazon and Google are doing. Both companies are also taking their own unique approaches to artificial intelligence. Amazon doesn't even call it artificial intelligence. They call it machine learning. And they're building a backbone of machine learning into their cloud offerings. And we really haven't seen that manifest yet, but it's starting to happen and they're starting to build it. And they've been doing so for the last year. But Amazon has this other consumer level of artificial intelligence through their Echo line of products. I recently had a conversation with one of my coworkers about this. Amazon is getting devices into every home that not only helps them sell their products and enhance their retail business, and as you interact with them, they're becoming better every single day. And this point could be made for the Google products as well. But as you talk to them, as they refine and improve their ability to recognize your speech patterns, the data points that they're collecting, the behavior patterns that they're collecting, will help them sell to different businesses, whether it's marketing or maybe healthcare companies. There's a lot of information those things are gathering, which kind of creeps me out because I have like a million of them in my house right now. But they're gathering information about us, and that will be used for commercial purposes and for enterprise purposes. And I actually believe that IBM is going to regret not going down a similar path, even though they're not necessarily a consumer-focused company anymore and haven't been for 2 decades. I think they're going to regret not putting Watson into some little hub or device so they can gather information about you as well. And I also predict that there will be some kind of Watson-powered home intelligence device that will be released to the market way too late. But Amazon is consistently inviting developers into their communities, making it easier for them to develop applications, nodes, APIs for their Echo products. They've been basically offering free cloud hosting lately to get people to come in and to develop. And Google is doing the same thing with that community approach. They've been acquiring companies that have a community of scientists, data workers, that will help them enhance their artificial intelligence tools. And they're also trying to build a core set of APIs and a backbone so companies can just pull from a library of pre-existing tools and APIs and software and repurpose them for their own needs. I did a podcast a few months ago about ecosystems, and this is exactly what's happening with artificial intelligence. Google and Amazon and Microsoft too. I should not exclude Microsoft. They're all trying to go out and entice developers and scientists to work with them to build a core set of applications and reusable pieces of code so they can sell that to enterprise businesses. What I'm getting at is ease of use. It's faster to deploy this stuff because you're reusing things and it's cheaper to implement. And you're also getting that sense of you're standing on the shoulder of giants. There are people that have come before you, so it's not as scary to invest and implement because there are others that have already done so. So let's go back to IBM. We're seeing smaller hospitals and smaller companies, for the most part, announce partnerships and build interesting tools with Watson, specifically those medical diagnostic, cancer review, diabetes review situations. Those applications came at a tremendous cost in man hours and development time. It took a lot of effort to make those things work properly. I've seen IBM try to build that community that Google and Amazon and Microsoft are trying to do, but at this point, they have been less successful at doing that. It's important to highlight that when Ginni Rometty announced that the data that you put into Watson is your own, the things that you develop are yours, she sold that as a major consumer milestone, a win for the consumer and for the enterprise customers. But what she's also saying is there isn't a core set of code that has been built by a community that you can access. Watson does have APIs. I shouldn't say that there isn't a core set of APIs, but there's a different mentality. That H&R Block tax application, assuming that H&R Block would ever let another company use it, you would obviously have to pay them a licensing fee. And they have every right to recover the massive amount of time and money they invested into that tool. But I'm starting to wonder, and I half agree with some of the articles that have gone out this week, is the entry into Watson so high that it's going to turn off users from ever going into it? And thus, cut off a community vibe as other competitors make entry cheaper and faster and less intimidating. Artificial intelligence isn't one size fits all. Amazon is currently focused on simple, repetitive, automated tasks. Google, they do have an eye on the medical analytics, just like IBM, but they're also doing some very interesting things with video analysis and video manipulation with artificial intelligence. Microsoft, pretty heavily focused on analytics, which again is another thing that IBM's trying to do. And then you have IBM. They're still the gold standard in artificial intelligence at the moment. They still have the market and name brand recognition, but are they getting the big wins? Is anyone getting the big wins right now? I don't know if anybody's really buying artificial intelligence outside of hospitals and educational communities right now. I think everyone's waiting to see what the other guy's going to do first and how much money they dropped on it before they make an investment to see if it's really worth the money. And so you're in a catch-22. It's scary and expensive and time-consuming to implement this stuff, but it's never going to get better unless more people invest in it, learn the ropes, and make it better for the next group of people, which is basically like standing on the shoulder of giants. And that will probably be the title of this podcast. And that's all we have for this week. As a reminder, you can find SourceCast on iTunes, Google Music, and all of your favorite podcasting applications. SourceCast is recorded in bucolic Mantua, New Jersey, and is produced and recorded by me. Music is provided by Google. Thanks for listening, and we'll be back next week.